Let's go straight to the headlines and listen to the voices of the summer of 2010.
The water was up to our necks and we managed to swim out. We didn't care about our lives, we just wanted to save the children.
Forest fires have killed at least 25 people and left thousands homeless in central Russia as heat wave grips much of the country.
This is the worst flooding in China in the last 10 years.
Straight from the headlines, talk of climate changes in places like Russia, Pakistan. We certainly have had all summer long the situation in the Gulf of Mexico. Joining us now to take a look at whether these are macro forces at work or mini details on a warming planet is Bill McKibben, environmentalist, author of Earth, Making a Life on a Tough New Planet. Good morning, Bill.
Hello there. How are you?
You know, on this program, at the very beginning of the Gulf of Mexico crisis, you said that given the situation of a human's relationship with the Earth right now, that there's a net zero difference between basically pumping the oil that was spilled into the Gulf and burning it in cars and in fuel plants, in electric plants, versus letting it just spill into the Gulf. That the net effect of using the oil based on the amount of demand there is for oil by humanity and just spilling the oil, it creates the same sort of effect. Are we seeing humanity sort of bumping up against the edge of the planet in the drought in Russia and the fires that are taking place in Russia and possibly even these floods in Pakistan?
I think so. I think so very much. What we're seeing is what global warming looks like in its early stages. And it's ugly and dangerous and has this kind of multiplier effect that just makes it much more difficult for country after country to cope. So far this year, 16 nations have set new all-time temperature records, in itself a record that covers about 19% of the planet. All that extra energy is just too much for the world to operate the way that we're used to it operating. Some of that gets expressed in drought. In warm and arid areas, we get more evaporation and hence more drought and hence more fire. Russia, Moscow had never had a temperature over 100 degrees. I think they're on their eighth day of it now. Once that water is up in the air, it's going to come down. The floods in Pakistan have been described as the worst in the country's history and probably long before there was a country there. And you can see the results. It's simply too much water. The atmosphere is 5% moister than it used to be. What happened in the Gulf was an accident, a mistake. What's happening around the world right now is the result of things going the way they're supposed to go, of us burning all that fossil fuel and putting all that carbon in the atmosphere.
Although some would say the spill in the Gulf, even though it was an accident, was a foregone conclusion given the scale of deep water drilling that we've embarked on.
Yes, it's certainly an indication that we're running out of easy oil to get at, and we have to take extreme risks in order to find it. But the real problem is not when something goes wrong. The real problem is that the business model of the fossil fuel industry is destroying the one planet that we've got.
Well, how do you reconcile the fact that in Europe this past winter temperatures were also unusually cold? I mean, the northern half of Europe experienced one of the coldest winters since the 1980s, and in some places colder than they've ever recorded. How do you reconcile that?
There's still extremes of all kinds, right? Every day, every year, there's some kind of extreme going on someplace. The trick is to find out what's happening, what those extremes look like. So at the moment, in this continent, we're seeing about five times more heat records now than cold records being set. If you happen to hit a cold patch, enjoy it, remember it. They're not going to be many of them coming. If you hit a warm patch, well, that's what the dice are loaded now for, and we're going to see more and more and more of it.
Is it possible for meteorologists and climate scientists and planetary scientists to factor out the human impacts on these various dynamics? There are certain rainstorms that have nothing to do with human impacts and others that are uniquely related to human impacts?
You can never say this rainstorm is happening at this precise moment because of global warming or not. All you can say is, but it's a pretty powerful thing to say, the kind of disasters that we're seeing are precisely what every model predicts will be happening. And unfortunately, those models predict that they're just going to get worse and worse and worse. You know, I called this last book of mine by this odd title, Earth with an Extra A, because it's a new planet. It still has the same number of continents, gravity still works, but new forces, that extra carbon bringing extra energy into this narrow envelope of atmosphere in which we live, are propelling really dangerous things. And if we're not able to quickly bring that under control, it's going to get a lot worse. So far, we've increased the temperature of the planet globally averaged about 1 degree. Climatologists are quite clear that that number is going to be 4, 5, or 6 degrees before the century is out. Given that 1 degree is enough to do the kind of things we're seeing, we do not want to find out what 5 degrees looks like.
Well, what would your advice be to Russia? And again, I don't want to characterize you as being gleeful over your predictions coming true, because selling books also adds to the carbon footprint of humanity, right?
I spend all my time working, no longer really as a writer, but as a volunteer campaigner. We've set up the first big global grassroots climate movement, 350.org. Last year, we organized in all these countries included, or that are talking about today, were included in this, the what CNN called the most widespread day of political action in the planet's history. 5,200 demonstrations in 181 nations demanding that our leaders get to work to return the atmosphere to 350 parts per million CO2 or less, what NASA scientists tell us it's the only safe level.
All right, well, Bill McKibben, then what would be the takeaway for people in Russia? They're hearing reports all this week that it hasn't been this hot in Russia for 1,000 years, that there's no recorded record. What should they do?
The takeaway is that Russia is going to have to, like every place else, wean itself off the fossil fuel economy fast. And if we can't, then it's what we're going to be seeing. And we have lots and lots of friends in places like Russia, in Pakistan. We were on the phone with our 350.org colleagues in Pakistan a few weeks ago, and one of them said, you know, very hot here today. Well, people in Pakistan don't normally complain about the heat, so I inquired a little further. He said, yes, we set all-time Asia temperature record today, 129 degrees, okay? Think about what, I mean, you can pretty much set your oven to 129 degrees. Think about that, and then think about 6 weeks later, the most devastating flooding you've ever seen. Things are starting to come seriously unglued.
Political instability as well?
Well, one would expect that it would follow. It's very, very difficult to keep together institutions of any kind when they're under this much stress. Think about, you know, think about the hole in, you think we have a hole in our budget at the moment. Think about what the hole in Pakistan's budget's going to look like. They're going to have to replace, you know, half the bridges in the country. They've got to figure out somehow how to get 12 million people who are affected by this at least, you know, under shelter and calm and so on. It's bound to be a political problem.
And the United Nations is saying the scale of the Pakistan floods alone exceeds that of the last 5 years of natural disasters that they're already still working on recovery from. Bill McKibben, environmentalist and author of Earth, Making a Life on a Tough New Planet. That's Earth with an Extra A. Bill McKibben, thanks so much.
Thank you.